welcome everybody to another live edition of Double Crossed Radio, coming to you from the Jefferson Republic here in, which is otherwise known as Northern California and Southern Oregon. And we have another in-house show tonight. We're going to be talking about some things that were kind of came to my mind as I was down last week in Las Vegas at Freedom Fest. But first, before we get into that, I have to say hello to my co-host Drew and Colby. Hi, guys.
Hey, Chuck. How's it going?
It's going great.
What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, Colby, Chuck. Your voice is still there. And he's had a marathon session today, I think. He's been on the air for a while. Guy is a real trooper. Anyway, I was. I don't necessarily recommend this to people who do not like to spend a lot of time in the car, but we were within 4 hours of the Grand Canyon, actually a little bit less than 4 hours of the Grand Canyon in Las Vegas, and I said, this is about as close as I've ever been. I want to go see it. Plus, we had brought with us a friend from Poland who all his life, it's been one of his dreams to go see the Grand Canyon. So we jumped in our car Sunday morning after we checked out the hotel, and we headed off to the Grand Canyon. Right away, you come across Hoover Dam, and I just started my mind thinking. I got out my little pocket recorder, and I just started talking into it for about 10 minutes, all the different thoughts and things that I needed to remember to talk about, and I was going to write a column about this. And we were going to have another guest tonight, but they weren't able to coordinate it. So that kind of fell through. I said, well, I'm going to finish this column today so we can have something to talk about on the show tonight.
Well, actually, Chuck, I'm corresponding with Tatiana right now.
Cool.
And she might be able to come on in about 5 minutes.
Wow.
I'm trying to work it out right now.
So okay, well, maybe we're going to have her on.
She's in a room with a bunch of people right now, and we are trying to coordinate. Vincent or... Jimmy or JJ, if anybody's listening, if you guys could forward the phones over to us, that would be super cool, because I'm hosting this call and I can't jump off to do it. We might need to have her call in.
Okay. So, well, in the meantime, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of this, and we can go into it at greater length if she can't come on. If she can come on, we will just go with the flow, and we'll have the lovely and talented Tatiana Moroz with us. Well, we'll see what happens here. I'm kind of hoping she can come on. She's a really awesome person. You guys will really enjoy listening to her. Well, anyway, this is the first time I'd ever seen the Hoover Dam live. And it's, when you look at it, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty impressive thing that they've done there. And it, at first, you're just kind of overwhelmed by it. It says, wow, it's, you know, men did this. This is amazing. And then my inner Bastiat started to talk to me, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute. Who paid for this? And it's because it's a public works project, I became, you know, I'm kind of suspicious all along. Anything that's a public works project, public works projects kind of have this tradition, this throughout history of enriching a few well-connected people. And by well-connected, I mean the people who, you know, like to suck off the government tit. They enrich those people at the expense of the impoverished masses, basically. I thought this is probably a similar situation. I want to do some research on this when I get home. And so I came home and started to do research on the history of Hoover Dam. Now, the site where the dam is was all the way back in the early or the late 19th century. That'd be about 1890, around that time. It had been considered as a good site for a dam for flood control. That was one of the problems with the Colorado River, is it would frequently go over outside its banks, and it would flood, and it would cause some property damage and whatever. But despite all that, because so few people lived in that area, and there's a lot of this is the 19th century. Remember, there weren't so many really, and cars were just kind of like a dream in somebody's mind at this point in time. And there might have been a few early editions of a car out there, but there's no place to drive them. There were no roads yet, basically. And the, just the logistics of building a dam in the late 19th century just kind of made it impossible, just kind of a dream. So the idea just kind of languished there, and people would talk about it. Well, we need to hear something as a dam and whatever. Then electricity started to come on the scene, and electricity companies came to this site, and they said this would be a really good place to have a dam to generate electricity, but there aren't any people living around here. And we could, at that time, they could only transmit electricity about 80 miles. So it wasn't really – they had purchased an option to build a dam there, and then they let the option lapse because they realized that just even if they did build one and generate all sorts of electricity, there was going to be nobody to sell it to within an 80-mile radius because the only town there was Las Vegas, and Las Vegas was a little tiny, dusty spot on the road and in those days. It was really it was not much to talk about. So following this, head of the Reclamation Service, which is now known as the Bureau of Reclamation, that would be Arthur Powell Davis. And I don't know, I didn't have time today to look up, but I think that Powell in his name means that he's possibly a descendant of the Powell that discovered the canyon and was on the rode down and did a whitewater trip all the way down the whole canyon of Grand Canyon, and has probably spent a lot of time in that area. But anyway, this guy proposed a plan for a dam there for flood control of just putting charges of dynamite into the walls of the canyon right there where the bottleneck was, where they built the dam, and just dynamiting the walls and calling it good. This proposal was debated over and over again, but the by 1922, they just dropped the plan. They claimed that they doubted that it would save the money that the Reclamation Service claimed that it would. And personally, I had a problem with that because I have never, ever in my life ever heard of a government agency being concerned with saving money. So I doubt that that was the reason. I think it was more likely that people that were in the business of selling electricity or reselling electricity, they got to Mr. Davis and they planted the idea in his head that the government should build this dam and sell the electricity to them, and they could resell it to their customers, and they could make a big profit without any risk or investment, and or very little. It's a marginal investment. It's hardly anything compared to building the dam. So I think that's probably what happened, though I don't have no proof of it. It's probably these things are always done behind the scenes. No one ever knows. It just happens, and some, like I said, a well-connected person gets rich. Okay. So we're going to be joined momentarily by the lovely and talented Tatiana Moreau. So I was going to wrap this up really quickly. We're going to discuss this later, but this dam cost a lot of money. And you might say, well, it's producing all this electricity, it's done all this flood control, and all this. There's all these benefits. Well, the money that was paid out to build this dam was financed through the selling of bonds, and the bonds still haven't been paid off. They're still paying for this dam. It will not be paid off until the year 2037. That's 100 years after the completion of the dam. So the return on investment of this project is a staggering 0.72%. Yes, that's less than 1% return per year, compounded. I think there probably were thousands of other uses for this money than building this dam. And it was built during the Great Depression when people could afford it the least. This is just a horrible waste of money. It was a horrible use of public works. It further impoverished the American people at a time when they could afford it least. And it just... it's typical of all public works projects. The only people that made out on this are the construction company that built it and the electric companies that got to resell the electricity. Everybody else got screwed. So, without further ado, I think we have a guest here. Tatiana, are you there?
I am here. I've been waiting patiently.
Great. Well, we're happy that you could make it tonight.
I'm happy to do it as well. You know, we were trying to coordinate all this time, but I happen to be over at a friend's house, and we're just waiting to have our ribs, and we made some Brussels sprouts and some other good stuff. So while we're waiting for the food, I, you know, was happy that I got a chance to at least pop on for a few minutes.
Well, I, Tatiana is somebody that I ran into at Freedom Fest, and she's been a guest on the show, and I had never met her personally. And I tell you, she is about the most well-connected person I've ever known. Everybody there wanted to come up and say hi to her and put her and give her a hug, and she is really an important person in the Liberty Movement. I had no idea you're this popular, but you
okay,
really
that
are.
That is completely silly, but I will take the compliment. Thank you.
Well, it's true, and. The thing I wanted to talk about, have you on here, is this your Tatiana coin, and explain what this is. It's kind of a different kind of cryptocurrency. It's not a virtual currency like a Bitcoin. It's more like a investment in you. So I'll let you explain it so I don't mess it up.
Sure. I mean, basically, Tatiana coin is the first ever artist cryptocurrency, and what it aims to solve is some of the issues that face the music industry today. You know, artists, they need financing in order to get off the ground. One of the ways that people have found in order to solve that is to do things like Kickstarter or Indiegogo. But the problem with Kickstarter and Indiegogo is while you get a little prize, the prizes are hard to administer for the artist, and you might not actually want that prize. So you're basically kind of putting your money into something, and then you're forgetting about it. There's no long-term relationship. Maybe you get an occasional update email, and that's about it. I think that's a little bit too short of a relationship with your fans. But what we're doing with Tatiana Coin is people, for example, when they donate, right now we're fundraising for my third album, which I'm going to record at the end of August, and a couple other projects as well, but that's the main one. And people donate and they get Tatiana Coin. So when they get their Tatiana coin, they could basically cash it in for a number of different prizes, the same, similar, or at least to the Kickstarter. But I'm always going to be adding prizes and taking away prizes. And the hope is that the person will hold on to that coin, and then they trade it in much later, or they could even sell it. And so if I become more popular, since there's a fixed amount of coins, the value of those coins is going to go up. So you can kind of... you know, if you believe in what I'm doing, you can sell the coins later on down the line and actually kind of get something a little bit more concrete for that initial investment that you made in my crowd sale.
Yes, and I think this is just a really creative idea. I know that this is kind of a related topic, and you don't have to get into this if you don't want to. I don't want to have you make any enemies in the recording industry.
but, no way.
It's kind of hard for freedom artists to get their stuff played on the radio, to get played on any kind of mainstream media. It's difficult. I mean, I go to Pandora and I ask for Tatiana Moroz or Jordan Paye, just it doesn't come up. So it's difficult. They don't to break through to get into this thing is not easy. And
YouTube, you have to actually type in pretty much all of Jordan Paye in order to get anything from him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really pay attention to that stuff so much anymore just because, I don't know, what's the point? I think that what I'm doing and what a lot of other freedom artists are doing is very important and it is getting out there. Would we like some mainstream appreciation? I mean, who doesn't like appreciation? But I'm just not really thinking about that. I think that artists who spend too much time worrying about that end up not making very good art. And I'm just looking
That's
to be
true.
Innovative and creative. My hopes with post-Tatiana coin is to make that coin sort of a model for other artists and start a record label. So people would be able to vote on, you know, they would buy into the record label. They'd have a record label coin, for example. And then they would be able to vote on which artists they think we should sign, and we could kind of turn it into a lot of different ways. And then, you know, we would help artists create their coins. I think it's a technology that's going to catch on really quick. So for me, it's important to try and get in on it on my end to make that label because then we could potentially be solving, you know, because like right now if you're an artist and you try and do an artist coin, it's kind of hard because I happen to have a really good Bitcoin audience. But I think that if we did it in a more concentrated way with a company with some backing, I think that we could really push this idea out to the mainstream and be able to give artists the support that they need in order to make their music more popular and give them a larger cut, right? But still make enough money because we could potentially automate some of it and experiment a bit with the decentralized autonomous corporation type thing.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to bring up a comment that Ron Paul made about changing the mindset of the people in America. If it's going to happen, it has to happen with younger people, and you have to reach them through the culture. You have to reach them through the songs. If people start singing songs about freedom and liberty, then it's going to happen a lot faster than if we just sit up here and talk about it, because it'll be more relevant to what they're doing in their lives. So it's really important, if you believe in the ideas of freedom and liberty, that you support artists that are trying to change this culture and this way they think. And I tell you, the other side, they know this all along, and you can just tell by the kinds of things they promote and put out on the, for everybody to hear. They kind of dominate the industry with well, I call it just crap. Most of it isn't very good, and some of it is. There's always people that are aspiring to be greatness and or to have greatness in what they're doing, and I'm pleasantly surprised from time to time, but most of the stuff that's out there is not very good.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I've really struggled with. I grew up listening to some really great singers and songwriters from the 60s and the 70s, and they were talking about revolution. And then, you know, even like the 90s had some good music as well. You know, I loved Fiona Apple, and I loved the Indigo Girls, and, you know, there have been some artists that have snuck through, but when you get into the 2000s, that's when things really, I don't know, went spiraling downhill pretty hard, and that's been a source of frustration, which is why I think that something like that crypto label is a potential way of solving that problem, because, you know, I'm also thinking, if I make this crypto label, right, and I get a good model going, why not franchise that model? You know what I'm saying? And offer people, you know, say you have like five different acts that you really like and you think that you could do a good job. If I come up with a good model, then maybe we could be putting the power back in the hands of the people, which seems to be something that is the goal for Liberty people, for Bitcoiners, and it's just sort of a progression of mankind's thinking in general. I mean, people are sick and tired of being slaves, so I think we could solve those problems.
Exactly.
Can I interject?
Sure. Right, go ahead. This is Colby, Tatiana.
Hey, Colby.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? I think you're correct. There's a problem. I mean, most of the actual permacultures like punk rock or, you know, new indie or hardcore rock, like Breaking Benjamin, Rise Against. There's a lot of people that speak out against government that were quote-unquote punk rock at one time. And I used to listen to them. I used to play them. And personally, I've actually, within myself, listened to them since I've become awake and been like, holy shiza. You know, I mean, I'm trying not to curse on the radio, but, you know, I've actually sat in essence and been like, wow, I knew this the entire time, and I had no idea. The music I was playing and singing as a drummer was actually something that I support now, but I didn't actually know it because I never really listened to the words and what they were saying. We have a lot of really good music that's out there, and it's hard to get out there. It's so hard to get out there, and when you're like Jordan Page or yourself, it's even harder because you guys are seriously just saying it. You know, other people say it in analogies. And you guys are doing great things because you're just saying, hey, guess what? We're in your face. We're going to say it how it is, and you can deal with it. And that's good. That's what we need is we need, because the culture doesn't realize analogies. They don't realize any of the things that they're saying at all in the verbiage. Breaking Benjamin themselves, I mean, I listened to one of their songs the other day, and I was like, wow. And maybe it's just my perspective of what they're saying. But at the same time, I've seen many mainstream that are, but they're doing it differently.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Guys are. That's the issue, though, is you guys are like Eminem. You guys are coming out and saying, guess what? Nope, we're done. You guys are wrong. We're right, and we're gonna sing what is right. And if you don't believe in us, we're not gonna actually back you. So you can't get the record deals, and it's horrible that it's happening. It's just like everything with Facebook and everything else that's going on right now. It's a horrible demographic.
Yeah, but the Tatiana coin or whatever the cryptocurrency, this model that she's thought of and is introducing, this is going to remove the gatekeeper from the music industry. It goes around them. It just said, well, we're not going to play by your rules anymore. We're going to make our own. And sorry that we don't, you know, fit into your system, but we think people still want to listen to our music, and we're going to, you know, live and die by what we do. And that's, I think that's just awesome. And I think if you want to support Liberty, you gotta step up to the plate and support the people who are promoting it.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully people will support us, but I don't really think that that's the reason why. I don't know. I mean, it costs money to do it, but I don't think the money is the motivation for us, and I think that that passion comes across. And for me, I know that when I die, I'm going to feel like, even if I never get more famous than I am now, I don't know, people tell me I'm famous, I'm kind of like, I don't know about that one, I still can't pay my bills. But, you know, no matter what, I know that I served humanity well. And that, to me, is far more important than commercial success. As much as, look, every artist wants to be successful. Every artist wants to be, you know, applauded for their accomplishments and all that. But to me, even if I have a small group of people that were moved and touched by what I did, and maybe it made them think a little bit differently about the world around us, and maybe it makes them fight back a little harder. I mean,
artist-wise, you're doing a great thing. And well, that's the thing, it's like Rage Against Machines. I mean, look at what came from Rage Against Machines and Soundgarden merging. They got a lead singer. I mean, good things came from that, too. They all had the same mindset. Only one of them was willing to actually go out and be a hardcore activist like the lead singer of Rage Against Machines.
Although he is a socialist, which is a little disappointing.
Yeah, that is disappointing, actually.
He had more acceptance from the establishment because he was singing their tune a little bit.
And that's the thing, is it's like, how does that happen? Because, you know, that guy, judging off his lyrics, you would never, ever esteem that he was that kind of person. I mean, he did great things, but at the same time, we have so many artists that really need to be acknowledged, and they never get it because it's all about having a contract and being regulated, and it's not right.
Well, somebody's just got to get him some Austrian economics. I never really identified with the left or the right particularly, but I did like Denis Kucinich, and I didn't understand certain aspects of Ron Paul's platform, for example. But once I started understanding Austrian economics, the game changed, and I think that things came into focus. And I think that when people are on the left, or even on the right for that matter, people, you know, this is a theme that's in a lot of my music, you know, the same side song, for example, we're all on the same side here. Generally, most people are not looking for a bunch of wars. They're not looking to be haters. I mean, yeah, there's some people that have, you know, they don't like gay people or whatever, but I don't pay attention to them. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that we all have basically similar goals. We are Americans here, and this is an international thing as well. All around the world, people love us for our freedom and for that idea that if you work hard, you'll get somewhere. And all these values have sort of fallen by the wayside, but I think that they're ingrained in just humanity in general. People want to be free. They don't want to be slaves, that type of thing. So I think that there's hope even for Rage. I loved Rage Against the Machine, you know, big fan, but politics, not as much. But you can find a lot of things in common with even like the socialists or whatever, for lack of a better term, you know?
Yeah, but the socialists, they're not writing songs like Bitcoin songs. They're not writing songs that are speaking to me. You guys should all go to YouTube and listen to Tatiana's Bitcoin song. It's cool. I like it. It's a great song.
Oh, thank you. I have a lot more coming out. I mean, for this next record, I'm writing something for the Silk Road. I did something about like race baiting, which I just forgot. I totally forgot about that song, but now I remembered it, and I'm like, oh, I got to work on that again. So there's a lot of good kind of subject matter-y songs, but I always try and keep them, you know, grounded and passionate and inspiring. Like there has to be some sort of a, like, it can't just be like an ad for something. Even though actually with the Bitcoin song, I started out writing it as a jingle, but it turned into a song because there was passion behind the concept. And I hope that I was able to kind of convey that to people.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's a, I kind of lost my notes on this cause I was frantically trying to get together something else cause we weren't sure if you're going to be on today. So, but I remember in your the Love and Liberty CD,
mm-hmm.
which I own and I play very frequently. And I'm sorry that I like the breakup songs the best, but they're... They speak to something inside me, I guess. I've had some of those similar experiences. So, but I like...
I know that you had those experiences, but that's why making those songs is so good, because people are, you know, it's like you take a really bad experience and you share it with other people and you turn it into something beautiful. And now all of a sudden you have a bond with others, which solves that initial problem where you're probably a little lonely. So it's been very therapeutic for me to write music like that.
Yeah. And, I know that this was more of a, well, I don't know. I don't know exactly why you did the music video with Luke and make a YouTube video, but that was a really catchy tune. It's very hard to get out of your head once you hear it, and you kind of go around humming it all day long, and it's in there, and that was very entertaining also, and it's that also was kind of speaking to me that there's a lot of different ways you can make activism work, and you don't have to be somebody that commands of 15,000 people showing up when you speak. You can just do something simple with the people you have influence with, or at least that you even just know, and you can do something that really makes a difference within your own sphere of influence just by doing something like make a YouTube video or have a radio show or come on or be an activist like you, or start with the Tatiana coin, the cryptocurrency for artists. And these are all things that are making a difference in society and a positive difference. How could it be anything but that? Because they're meant to make things better for everybody, and they don't always work out the way we want to, but they advance things forward, it seems like.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, that's what we're going for.
I think your idea on the coin thing is just awesome, what it could do for a lot of artists that have trouble getting their stuff heard.
Well, thank you. I mean, we're really excited about it. We went through a pivot at one point because we were only going to do it for a 30-day thing, but... you know, it's a little bit tricky for people to kind of get familiar with it. So now we're just doing it where I have another, we sold the first 1.5 million coins and there's only going to be 3 million. So the remaining 1.5 we're selling it at a fixed rate. So people can support me at any time. And then I guess at some point that rate will go up, you know, as I become more popular. And I think that's, I don't know. And plus I have a great feedback loop with people now, because now, you know, when they got their stupid little t-shirt or whatever before, they kind of forget. Now I have, like, fans that are with me for life. They have a vested interest in seeing me do well. They have more of an incentive to share my work with others. And I'm being held accountable with my reputation. And, you know, that's also good. I mean, that kind of incentivizes a whole different work ethic mentality for people in general. I mean, I don't think that Tatiana Coin's the first one. There's going to be a lot of
them. Everybody share in your development and your success, and they have, and it puts some pressure on you to deliver. But that's the kind of pressure you want. You want to be have a you know, I don't want to let these people down kind of thing, right? The show must go on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a really, really wonderful year, and just in general, I mean, just ever since I got involved with Liberty, it's just seems like I've come home. And you think about all those folks out there who've got, like, depression problems, and not to minimize that, because I know that those are very real problems, but I wonder if people wouldn't be able to get some sort of fulfillment and joy by participating in something that makes them feel alive. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think people are sad out there, not just because they have some chemical issue, but also because the world around us is so scary and depressing. But if you're taking action and if you're contributing in some way, even if it's not with Liberty, maybe you want to protest Monsanto, maybe you want to, I don't know, you just need something that you're passionate about. And I know what I'm passionate about, and now I can kind of realize that with other like-minded individuals, and hopefully wake some people up and convince some people to start thinking a little bit differently.
And not everybody is blessed with a voice and musical abilities that you have, but they can still support that kind of activity through buying your coin. And they're more connected to what you're doing, because once they get into that network, then they're continually being updated on things that are happening. And if you're going to have a concert near where they live, they're going to know about it before it's too late. They're not going to find out about it the weekend afterwards.
Yeah, and it's cool, you know. I really like my fans. I like hearing from people. Sometimes people are like annoying with their suggestions, but I don't know. But it's really cool to get a little bit of feedback, and I think that it keeps me in touch with what people want, and that's totally something that I think is just really kind of unique to our generation. That instant feedback loop with people, and this kind of builds on that.
Yeah, well, and I could well, how am I going to say this right? In talking to Jordan, he said Tatiana is just the nicest person. She's one of my best friends, and I said, well, that's great. And I didn't really understand what he meant until I met you live person. You are just everybody wants to come over and say hi to her because she is honestly, sincerely, a very, very, very nice person, and they all enjoy that about her, and they want to make sure that they continually are making contact with her because they don't want to lose a really good friend. And it's just amazing to witness. I say, wow, I'm really glad that that she's my friend too now. So it's you people can have her be your friend by just investing in her, and she'll give you as much of her time as she's able. And obviously, she can't give everybody as much as they want all the time, but that's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I like to be able to talk with people. Sometimes I wish I had a little bit of a break just because it's kind of hard because I'm out on the road a lot. And I wrote a song actually not too long ago, a little bit about that. It's almost my turn the page. Remember that Bob Seger song? I'm a huge Bob Seger fan. He's got that song, mm-hmm. Turn the Page, kind of about being on the road. And it does get a little bit difficult. So sometimes I get a little cranky. But you know what? Every single time I leave an event, I'm completely reinvigorated and it really inspires me, and I get a lot of, you know, my writing material even from those conversations that I have with people. So very, very good stuff.
Yeah. My only regret at the whole Freedom Fest thing is I was getting, my wife had sent me a text message that she was waiting for me so they could go to dinner, and so I was rushing out of the place, and I saw that Tatiana had her guitar out. She was tuning it. She was getting ready for a performance. Someone was recorded or was going to be on something. I says, oh, I have to miss this. Oh. And I was almost,
it was so funny. That was a funny time.
I love musicians, and I'm kind of like, anytime there's a live performance, I just want to be there. I remember one time I was, when I was visiting, she was just my fiance then, but I was visiting my wife in Krakow. We were in Krakow, Poland, and there was a guy playing guitar, and he was just amazing. And he was just playing by himself with a little single amplifier out there in the square, in that old town square. And I sat there and I listened to him for about half an hour, and it's just incredible. And this guy was playing for free, and he was just one of the best guitar players I've ever heard in my life. And I got to sit there and listen to that, and I didn't even know who he was. And I probably never will. But to me, he was just amazing. And I emptied out my pockets into his guitar case when I left, and I wish I could have stayed for another hour or however long he played. It was just amazing. And so when I said, oh, I can't, I would rather stay here and listen to this, I really mean it. I love people that can actually make music without having it corrected in a studio, and they can play live and play really, really well. That's a unique talent, and I respect that a lot. So when I have a chance to listen to it, I'm sorry that I missed it. I wanted to hear what you sounded like.
Well, unfortunately, lately I've had this horrible like allergy problem, and luckily now that I have my new job at Bitcoin Magazine, everybody should go check it out. It's awesome, awesome magazine about Bitcoin. I have health insurance, so I'm going to go back to the doctor. I got to get it under control. So I was a little bit scratchy. That was not my peak performance day, but it was really cool because, you know, after being in Vegas for a few days, it's exhausting. And we were just kind of chilling, and I was talking about writing this song and about an experience I had had. And it was like we just kind of hung out, and we had a fun time. And it was almost like we were in my living room, except that we were in the middle of Freedom Fest. So it was a cool vibe over there. And Rachel Mills is really, really cool. And I had a really nice time spending with her. So I think she and I are going to do an interview. And then Steven from Amagi Metals, there were just some...
That was Rachel?
There. Yeah, have you never met Rachel before?
She's one of my Facebook friends. I've never met her before.
Oh, yeah. She's an awesome, awesome person. I really, really respect her, and I really like her a lot.
I respect a lot of the stuff that's on her page. It's pretty good.
I'm sharing with you guys something that I created, because you were talking about how artists, they have, you know, like too much magic in the studio. One of the things that's like a backstory for wanting to do that record label was this video series that I created at my old recording studio Premiere, and it was called One Shot, One Takes.
Yeah.
And artists would come in, and they would get one shot, one take, and we would do a video for them, and we'd do an interview with the engineer, and would give a little backstory, and it was sort of to give the interns like practice projects. We would videotape the artist, and then the artist would potentially, hopefully, go off and tell people about how great their experience was there. It was sort of like a multi-feeding loop where everybody would kind of feed into each other. And the problem with that was that we couldn't put out compilations, because I would have had to, I had to have a record label to sign all those artists to in order to allow for them to allow me to use their music. So that was sort of a holdup. So now, looping back a year later, for me to do an artist cryptocurrency, I think that that might be a potential solution.
Exactly. So, that sounds really, really, really cool. So some actual talented people can get known.
Yes, absolutely. And so I pasted a link into our Skype chat. I don't know if you guys want to kind of check that out later on or whatever, but it's YouTube One Shot, One Takes. It's all spelled out, not like the number one or anything like that.
I've been sharing all these links over to our chat, Tatiana. This is Drew.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I just personally subscribed to your YouTube channel also.
Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah, I just put up a video yesterday, but I had to take it down. I was supporting Gigi Bowman, so I got to put out some more videos. And that's hopefully something that I'm going to be doing with Bitcoin Magazine, is doing some sort of like lifestyle videos showing how people are actually using cryptocurrency, how it's changing the world. Oftentimes the stories about cryptocurrencies are just, you know, really negative and miserable, and they're I think you need to put like a cute girl on there and have some fun and put some music to it and show how it's changing the world and inspire people. I think that that's, you know, something that I'll definitely be focusing on in the upcoming months. And luckily, Bitcoin Magazine is really supportive of that. So, we're everything is fantastic.
Yes, and for those of you out there that are, we do cover Bitcoin from time to time on the show because we think it's the future. We think it's going to change the way everything gets done, and for the better.
Yeah, we cover it like every other episode, I think.
It's hard not. It's getting harder and harder not to have something about Bitcoin in every show, because it's getting more and more important every day. And in fact, I purchased some Bitcoins today, and it's very easy to do.
I just want a way out of the system, you know. And this is a great way to get out of the system.
Well, this is another way. The cryptocurrency is another way to get around the all those gatekeepers and all that system and all that, to support somebody without having to go through a bank, and they take out a percentage for a fee for this and that. You can just purchase the coin. It's like buying a stock almost. It's you purchasing a part of Tatiana and her work that she does, and as she as the depth and the width of her work grows, the value of your Tatiana coin will grow also. And so it's just a wonderful cooperative voluntarist venture. And I think it's whether it ultimately succeeds to as much as you want to or not, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be better than, you know, than the other side of the is the other side of the coin. Is that using the wrong word? But it's going to be much better than the system you're leaving, just because you have control of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's the very first one. So I think that there's going to be a lot of improvements, and also a lot of improvements in terms of just people getting Bitcoins in the first place. You know, that's why we extended our campaign, because I realized that not everybody has Bitcoins and not everybody knows how to get them. So why not turn this into a learning opportunity for everybody and a teaching opportunity for myself? You know, every day I think I get a little bit better at explaining, you know, what Bitcoin is, and I'm definitely not an expert, but I think that's why people like me, because they don't feel threatened by it. They're not worried about, you know, coming off. I don't know. I remember I was at this one Bitcoin conference, and I asked a guy a question, and he was like, duh, you know, and that made made me feel really lousy. And I looked at him like that, and like pointing him in the finger. I'm like, that's why women don't like Bitcoin. But it's not even women. It's just people. People don't want to feel stupid when they're asking a question. So I'll look stupid for them, you know, and that's okay. I don't care. I'm not like particularly, technically savvy. So it doesn't really matter to me if I think that by me taking the fall, I guess, if you will, by maybe not looking like the Bitcoin master, then that's okay. That makes other people feel a little bit more comfortable with something that really is a new technology. And a lot of people just pretend they know everything about it anyway. So I think that it should be a fun approach versus you're going to do bad in school kind of pointy finger thing, you know?
Yeah, and I went up against Peter Schiff at the Freedom Fest. I was asking him what I thought were hard questions. He was kind of dodging them, I thought. He just thinks that Bitcoin's going to go to zero, that nobody's going to want it, and if nobody wants it, you're not going to be able to get rid of your Bitcoins. And I said, well, Peter, how do you say that statistics are showing there are more and more people coming online to this, you know, accepting it for merchandise, you know, for their business every day, and there's the that's going to increase the demand for this product exponentially because they're growing because that avenue for using Bitcoin is growing, and it's not for now. The most of the use has been to a way to store wealth because it had kind of a limited production run, and so people were just kind of buying it and holding it. But people are starting to use it to get hotel reservations, to get they're buying properties with it. They're Overstock.com is coming on. There's a lot of people that are making money, and they're increasing their business by accepting Bitcoin from all these people that have saved up all these Bitcoins from the beginning, and they have it's kind of like a pent up demand that's been unleashed on the merchants that are smart enough to accept Bitcoin. So I think it's going to go nothing but up.
Absolutely. Now, I couldn't be more convinced.
The only reason it would ever go to zero is if something better came along, and that would be something to celebrate too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think...
Can I put a point in here?
We're at the tipping point where it's all up from here.
What if the crazy-ass fringe unit of America happened and an EMP was set off and cryptocurrency was only online and that's all we had left?
I'm pretty sure we'd have bigger problems then at that point.
We do have bigger problems at that point, but
if the internet went down,
would it be better to invest in gold or silver, or would it be better to invest in cryptocurrency?
The way I see it, Colby, is that You've got means of exchanging goods and services, and you have investments, and they aren't necessarily one and the same. Like gold and silver, precious metals are good investments, but you can't buy something on the internet. Like right now, I'm placing a seed order for my farm. I can't use my gold; it's not going to do any good. But I'll use a credit card, and that's digits, and then it'll clear out. Cryptocurrencies are
right. I Amazon some
And the thing is, almost everybody in the chat that hates on Bitcoin when we cover it has bought something from Amazon.com. Probably everybody has, and almost everybody uses a credit card. This just bypasses the banks, gets the banks out of the way. Hopefully, it'll stay that way, and so it levels the playing field. And if I own several businesses. And the merchant fees are onerous, you know, and it gets higher and higher all the time. It used to be just like 1.5% or 2%, you know. Now it seems to be running like close to 10% of gross sales. It's just outrageous, and the paperwork involved, and then they report on you too. So you get the 1099s, and so there needs to be a way, you know, out of it, you know. And as I'm developing products for my farm. I'm not going to be selling those with Federal Reserve notes. Well, maybe for cash, but not credit cards. But if you want to buy stuff from me with Bitcoin, cool. Or like this company
Box of Wine,
all the better, you know.
If the net crashes.
But we have to have a way to get out of the banking system, to take the power away from the banksters and give it to the individuals. And
I can agree with that wholeheartedly.
And the thing is that many of us you know, the Liberty Movement, you know, have been pushing for alternative currencies. And you know, this should not be regulated. People should be able to engage in trade with whatever currency as they see fit. And so, you know, the cryptocurrencies are there. They have a proven intrinsic value. It's not fiat currency. There's actually a high level of utility with these that a lot of people don't understand. We've covered that on prior episodes. But things like with Tatiana Coin, where you know, it's being used to basically invest in a business. You know, there you could engage in real estate transactions, conduct a stock offering, things that can't be done with Federal Reserve notes, or that would require a whole bunch of intermediaries that would be taking their cut along the way. And that's all bypassed with cryptocurrencies. And this innovation is so great that this probably is as great as the invention of the internet, you know, thank you, Al Gore, and the railroad. And you know, this is going to be a huge game changer. But it doesn't.
I think it's going to be up there with the printing press. It's that kind of a game changer.
Agreed.
Because it's going to change everything.
But you know,
I think cryptocurrency will change a lot of things.
Well, I want to get back to Tatiana for a moment while we still have her here. She's been patiently. She's probably gone through all these discussions many times. You guys, when I said she's well connected, I was not overstating the case. I mean, she gets to talk with people like Jeffrey Tucker all the time. So it's
I do.
She's
cool
heard all these things many times.
Yeah, I am quite cool for hanging with Jeffrey, and I think that Bitcoin Magazine is going to be doing something with Liberty.me too.
Okay.
So that's going to be really fun because I was hanging out with Tiffany over there. She's so cool. And the whole team between the Liberty.me folks, the SFL people were really cool. I don't know. I think that there's just really great alliances that can be forged in ways that we could be supporting each other. And I do have a knack for that. I do have a knack for finding cool people and putting them together. give myself a little pat on the back in that regard.
Okay, so I want to also say how cool people Liberty Mears. I had an amazing discussion with a young man named, I think his name is Briggs Armstrong.
Oh, Briggs is wonderful. He's very cool.
He was really, really interesting guy. I'm hoping that we can have him come on the show sometime too. But I wanted to ask you, do you own all your music?
Yeah.
Okay, so have you considered ever selling your music, individual songs, on a Bitcoin basis, where someone would transfer Bitcoin into your wallet for a song?
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Well, if I wanted to buy, let's say, I wanted to buy this next CD you have coming out, I could just buy it with Bitcoin from you personally.
Yes, actually, my friend, he built something for me. I think it's called LibertyMusicStore.com or something or other. It's on my Tatiana Coin site. There's like a Bitcoin store. He built it specifically for me. Yeah, no, he's awesome. This guy, Miko, he works with local Bitcoins out in like Holland or some country over there. I don't know. It's cold. But he's wonderful, and he built me like a special store where people could buy Bitcoin, and hopefully other artists, if they want to do it, they could just message me info@TatianaMorose.com, and I'll put them in contact with Miko. But we're kind of fixing it up, and then we're going to start talking to other artists about accepting Bitcoin. And it's all automated, and the back end was really easy to use. So we're going to tweak it, make it a little more pretty, I guess. But yeah, I mean, he's awesome. And I was really grateful that he was inspired by my music and decided to build that for me. And hopefully other people will be able to take advantage of it. LibertyMusicStore.net. I just looked it up.
And if some of you out there haven't got Bitcoin yet, this is just another reason to get it. I think a lot of artists are going to start doing this. They're going to... there's a whole bunch of people out there that have a lot of Bitcoin because they started mining it when it was, you know, nickel of Bitcoin or whatever. And this has gone up in value. They have almost fortunes, and they don't have any place to spend it necessarily. And as the first people that can get out there with products that they might be interested in are going to get a lot more than they will, let's say, a year from now or 2 years from now, because as more competition gets out there for those Bitcoins, they'll be more selective in what they spend it on.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. I think that I don't know. The future is looking bright. We're doing good, guys.
I tell you this, you're really I don't know how to say this. You're on top of stuff. You're really alert to what's happening, and I think you're ahead of the curve quite a bit. And I hope that sometimes the first person doesn't make all the money. It's this person that comes second and copies them. That kind of they don't have to put all the to make the same mistakes. They can kind of benefit from your errors. And so I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that you become known as the first one that really made it worthwhile to get paid in Bitcoin and get some notoriety from that and get some notoriety as for your intellectual prowess too, because you're more than just a singer. You really have a lot going on upstairs.
This has been a very good year. I've accomplished a lot, and I don't. Most times I don't really give myself very much credit, but this time around I'm doing so. So it's I'm taking a minute to enjoy.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to find some time to come on the show tonight. We have just a few minutes left. Is there anything else you want to cover that we didn't get to cover?
No, but I have
upcoming concert appearances or anything or.
Oh yeah, people. Oh gosh, this I haven't even been able to update my site because I don't have somebody helping me with that right now. I'm going to be playing in Palo Alto tomorrow. Saturday night, I'm going to be in San Francisco at 20 Mission, which is like a Bitcoin kind of place where people go. I'm going to be at Coin Congress in San Francisco. I'm going to do the Silicon Valley Bitcoin meetup, and then there's also going to be. Another San Francisco panel that I'm going to be speaking on. So if people check my Facebook or my Twitter feed and stuff like that, I'm always posting. And hopefully in the next couple of days, I'll get someone to help me out with my website and I'll start being able to update the shows again.
Okay. So I'm going to add this on a, if you're listening to this on a podcast, which about, I think more people listen to the podcast and listen to it live, but make sure you check constantly and frequently on Tatiana's sites that she just mentioned, because she's constantly updating them, and she may not be in your area now, but she might be tomorrow or the next week or next month. So keep checking it all the time and keep current with her. Subscribe to her YouTube channel. She's got a lot of cool stuff there. And if you get a chance to go to Freedom Fest next year, are you going to be there, Tatiana?
I'm always at Freedom Fest. I like Freedom Fest.
See, that's
I don't know
a good
why they don't hire
to
me to sing, though. That's the one thing that they're missing out.
But it's it is really the it's like Disneyland for Liberty people.
Exactly. Hey guys, my computer's gonna die. I don't want to lose the chance to say thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Hope you enjoyed listening to the show. Check out TatianaCoin.com and CoinPowers.com. And thanks again for everything. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Tatiana.
Take care. And stay in contact with me on Bitcoin Magazine because I'll be posting articles on
it. I will.
Too. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. She's the I don't know. She sounds very nice when you have her on there. If you see her in person and you make eye contact with her, you can tell that everything she says is coming from her heart. She's not a fake person at all. She is the real thing. And I'm just so honored to be associated with her in any way possible. So this was just amazing to have her on tonight. So to sum things up, we started out, we're going to post this, the essay that I wrote on public works on our page. It's also going to be on News Doctors under the look for Charles Horton. And you can, it'll be one of the articles on there. Our friend of the show, Eric Dubin's going to get that, and I thought we were going to have a whole show and discussion on this, but we can save that for next week or another week or maybe next year. Who knows? There's so much stuff happening, it's hard to figure out what we're going to talk about that's the most important every week, but we seem to come up with something, and I think this I was pleasantly happy with how it ended up for us. Kind of finished it in a hurry today so we'd have something to talk about if Tatiana couldn't come on, and I learned a lot about the Hoover Dam and doing this. So it was kind of interesting to do this work today. I like it when I get it right like this. Drew and Colby, do you guys have anything to add? We've got about 3 minutes left.
Well, I'd like to say that this innovation, that Tatiana is working on with the Tatiana coin, really is the future, not just for music, but for fundraising for other types of businesses and projects. you know, this is something I've been considering, you know, doing something like farm coin or food coin or something like that to raise funds for small farm projects. And then those coins could be also used to make purchases, you know, at farmers markets. They've got little devices where you could exchange these things, just, you know, like little software applications. And Square just sent me a thing. I don't know if they're doing Bitcoin yet, but they just sent me this little thing that I could plug into my phone, and you could do credit card transactions. So cryptocurrencies are inevitable. You know, this is the way things are going to go. Period.
Oh, go ahead, Colby. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, this is Drew.
No, I meant Colby started to say something nice.
Oh, go ahead, Colby.
I actually said nothing, but yeah, no, I agree. I mean,
I thought that was you.
The problem we're going to have is if the currency goes bankrupt locally, the crypto is not going to matter. I mean, we're going to have such a harsh decline locally from the other currency that it's going to hinder anything we can do, and we're seeing this happening, but it's on a lot of different scales, so it's not something we can get into in the next two minutes, so it's not even worth it.
Colby, it's going to be, what's going to happen, if, let's say the dollar collapsed tomorrow, there probably are too few people that have bitcoins to make it viable for everybody, because there are a lot of people without them aren't going to be able to benefit from them. But there's still going to be people that would want to exchange Bitcoins, because the Bitcoin isn't going to collapse. The Bitcoin would go soaring in value if the dollar collapses. So this purchasing power will increase. And what will happen is people are going to, in order to get Bitcoins, they're going to have to find ways to produce things. They're going to have to produce wealth in some form. And you produce wealth, the haiku that Drew posted out of the book I gave him, that was perfect. It's the reward for increasing the value of something is your profit. It's the wealth that you generate. And that's how you're going to be able to get Bitcoins, to be able to get the things that you need, is you have to figure out how to produce something. And so people should be focused on that more than on what kind of currency they have. And I wouldn't put all your money in Bitcoin, because there's gold and there's silver. And some people, in fact, I think junk silver coins, buying old dimes is probably a really good idea, because that's something that it's worth about the same amount of money that you would use to buy maybe a couple pounds of tomatoes or something. So that's something that's going to be maybe more useful in some kind of a collapse that would happen than an ounce of gold, for instance. It'd be hard to trade an ounce of gold or something. That's about $100 now. Anyway, I hear the music. We're done for this week. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week on Thursday night on UCY.TV, Double Cross Radio.